This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King will join us in about 10 minutes via Skype. Somewhere in New York City, our weekly conversation with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, year number three of Peter King every week, right here during the regular season of the NFL, with the regular season kickoff on Thursday night and the Cardinals playing at Detroit on Sunday. Very much looking forward to talking with Peter King. Michael Fabiano, you guys got to get your fantasy football team lineup set with some of the moves over the weekend by the Patriots. There's a quarterback situation in Indianapolis, or maybe not. Who do you want to play this weekend? Start, sit, all that with Michael Fabiano, right from the NFL Network there in Los Angeles. Michael Fabiano will join us on the show. We'll talk with Michael all things around the fantasy football realm. Obviously, the story of the weekend was the Diamondbacks, and it continues to be the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are the lead story here, without question. Yesterday, just pounding away on the Dodgers. I don't know if it's the Dodgers are bored or if the Dodgers are just hitting that part of the season like everybody else. Remember a couple weeks ago, the Diamondbacks were just awful? Like, I'm in the bullpen about 10 minutes ago, and Haley just says to me, just looks at me right in the eye and says, so do you still think the Diamondbacks are a bad team? No, obviously not. But 2 weeks ago, they were wretched. They were horrid. They were putrid. That's what happens during the course of a long season, ebbs and flows. If you're a Diamondback fan, you hope that this will continue for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and beyond that. Does it mean anything at all that Robbie Ray struck out 13 Dodgers? Does it mean anything at all that he had a perfect game for a little bit against the Dodgers? If you look at how they are hoping, the Diamondbacks are hoping this would shake out, it would be clinch the playoff, the wild card spot, which right now they're going to do that. They cannot simply go into the tank that badly here in the next 3 weeks. So they'd have the wild card, have Greinke throw in game one, which is the wild card game. And then do you open with Robbie Ray against the Dodgers? Obviously, the way he pitched last night, it's a no-brainer. And anybody who wondered about, is Robbie Ray going to be able to come back off the line drive to the head? I wondered that. We all wondered that because nobody knew. He's pretty much answered that. So last night, to see what Robbie Ray did was first and foremost the most impressive part to me because I'm looking at pitching. Obviously, everybody's talking about J.D. Martinez today, and rightly so. You should. But without Robbie Ray on the mound when it comes postseason, you know, JD just went after it last night, and this was impressive. This was obviously, if you talk about an all-around great game, we'll get in the Goldschmidt thing in a minute, but all of these, the Martinez one after the next, after, you know, it was two home runs. Wow, man, JD Martinez is having a great night. No, he decided, let's do another one. And then I liked what he told Jody Jackson after the game. Hey, so I just kind of figured after the first pitch, you know, why not go for it? So he did. Boom. And like the fourth one last night, my house, all I heard from around the house was, oh, my gosh. Oh, it's amazing. It's incredible. Look, he just mashes this ball. This guy mashes it. So four home runs for JD Martinez last night.
Sorry, the most impressive thing to me last night, it would help if I actually put myself on the air.
No, you're fine, you're fine.
Was all four of those home runs were all into different parts of the stands at Dodger Stadium. He hit one to left center, he hit one to right center, he hit one to just off of right center, and then his last one he hooked down the line, not down the line, but to left field.
How many different pitchers, too?
I know.
So you're right, he went all around the park against four different guys. I mean, that's what I haven't felt this much energy around a ball club in a long time. I mean, even the Eric Burns, Justin Upton 2007
this
go to
team,
Colorado.
Yeah, this team's different, though.
This team's different because, you know, when you see a guy walk to the mound who strikes out 13 and you know that Zach Greinke wasn't that guy that was doing it, there is a different feel about them. And you know, on a day where they had every right, I thought, to be flat last night. Goldschmidt gets sent home. It's an elbow thing. We don't know how severe it is, but it's still, Goldschmidt is being sent home. And so you see that, and then who they were facing on the mound last night for the Dodgers and Rich Hill, you're thinking this isn't going to be a good night, and instead it ends up being one of the best ones that you could ever have for the Diamondbacks.
It was weird because I was out on a shoot last night. I didn't see the game until I didn't see what happened until I went on Twitter. I got home and then I saw the highlights and I thought it was odd that his first home run came in the fourth inning. I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's the fourth inning, and then he hit three more home runs. Yeah. Then I saw the score. I was like, oh, it was like 12 or 13 to nothing.
Right,
okay,
right,
did get four at-bats after the fourth inning, or three at-bats after the fourth inning.
Well, if you look at what he did, Eric, so we had Pedro on a couple of weeks ago talking about, will J.D. Martinez re-sign with the Diamondbacks? And I had some people, I put it up last night, I had some people that got mad at me. Oh, you just need to enjoy the moment, and we have plenty of time to talk about that in the future. You know, I'm one of those that if you see ball players and who is in their ear. And last night, Jody was interviewing JD after the game. And I wanted to hear him say something like, I love it here in Arizona. I love my teammates here in Arizona. This is a great situation. I didn't hear any of that last night. Now, she didn't press him on it. And it was, yes, this is great, and teammates have been amazing. It was very, I'm in the moment. And a lot of guys go that way. I would hate to see this guy walk out on the Diamondbacks and go chase. And I'm all about players chasing the money, right? If Ken Kendrick decides, I'm not going to go pay him big jack. Or if the front office, if Mike Hazen says, I can go get J.D. Martinez's all day long. Like, you look at the moves that Hazen has made as general manager. And, yeah, the J.D. Martinez one you look at and you admire that. But I'd say Chris Iannetta's turned out to be a pretty darn good pickup for them behind the plate. Their catching situation from where it was a year ago to where it is now. Now that we're in the stretch drive. And we'll see how Greinke performs tonight because, you know, he's had some spotty starts. And he's been very, very good. He's been everything that you would want out of him. Yeah, they've won 11 in a row. They could make it 12, 13, 15. Doesn't matter to me as long as they get to the postseason. I think the good news with all of this run here in the last couple weeks, they have every opportunity to seal this thing off by about the last week of the season. And if you seal it off in the last week of the season, then you can set everything up. You can say, you know what, we're going to have Greinke throw 60 pitches on a Thursday game before the season ends, and it doesn't matter. We're going to have Greinke throw an inning on Sunday in the last game of the regular season. I don't think that would happen. But my point is, you can use your staff differently. Maybe, I mean, what we saw last night, it pretty much answers it in my mind. If Greinke wins in the wild card game, there's no reason to not use Greinke in the wild card game. You have to use your ace in the wild card game. I mean, we saw what Robbie Ray did last night. That's because you're going to face the Dodgers in the second round if you get through that wild card game. And you can also rest up your bullpen. You can use guys in different sorts of ways. You can get the bumps and bruises healed. You don't want to get out of rhythm. Yeah, I'm pretty much saying they're going to the postseason. Because I can't see an extended losing streak here over the last 3 weeks where they would just completely gag it away. I just don't. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, the Goldschmidt injury does concern me, but I'm not getting the – there's a way the Diamondbacks go about their PR. When they want something done on a national level, it's usually, in my view, leaked by people in the upper executive front office. And it's usually leaked to writers that carry a lot of juice. So it's usually like guys, by now Bob Nightingale would have something that says this really, or John Heyman would have something that would say this isn't good. And that's usually leaked by someone in the front office. I have a pretty good idea who, but it doesn't matter. And so the fact that we're sitting here at 10:15 on Tuesday morning and nothing has come out yet in a negative way on Goldschmidt, to me that's pretty good news. And I thought last night in the broadcast that was pretty down the middle, especially from BB. If BB knows something, I think you can usually listen closely and hear that this may not end up being something good. And I could be wrong on that. Be wrong on it. But that's what I cared about last night. The J.D. Martinez stuff, icing on the cake. Robbie Ray, bigger story to me. That's just me. I'm into pitching. So we had a long weekend, and on the college football front, and we'll get much more into it here in a bit. Peter is going to join us via Skype from New York City here shortly. But the UCLA-Texas A&M game, I had Jim Mora fired. Then I saw, Eric, you had Kevin Sumlin fired by the time he got to the airport in Burbank. The USC blind long snapper was the best story of the weekend. And I thought the two teams within our state, of the two, U of A looked better. Yeah, NAU could not tackle, and U of A continues to run the football. Like, U of A last year ran all over ASU. We remember that game very well. And they ran all over NAU. They can't throw the ball very well. They only threw for like 85 yards the other night. And I actually watched most of that game. I was one of the few on the Pac-12 network. ASU game, it wasn't impressive. It just wasn't. And it's maddening to me when I get a whole bunch of, this is great, and man, we're awesome, we're amazing. It's New Mexico State. They've been kicked out of the Sun Belt. At the end of this year, the conference they're in has already booted them to the curb. These are guys that are nice high school players here in Arizona, but should not even be on the same field as ASU. You don't let a 17-point lead. You don't let a 17-point lead just kind of drift away. You just don't do that. So that was disappointing. And there's a few other things I'll get to. And, of course, the Cardinals season opener at Detroit. We'll touch on that next with Peter King. Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, SI.com, the MMQB.com, one of the best in the business. Big national guest that joins us every week on Tuesdays to talk about the NFL, the Cardinals opener with Detroit, and what does he expect from the Cardinals, too. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. The NFL season gets started on Thursday, and you know it's NFL regular season time when Peter King Skypes in from somewhere abroad, the United States of America. Peter appears to be in New York City today. Looking forward to the start of the year. How are you, Peter?
Brad, how's it going? Yeah, I'm right near the World Trade Center. My office is down here, and I apologize. I thought I was going to be in my office to do this, but my subway was a little tardy, and so here I am. I'm sort of on the street, and you're going to get a sense of what street life is, maybe in New York, with everything around me.
And there's nothing wrong at all with that. All right, let's get right into the Arizona Cardinals and Detroit Lions game on Sunday. First foremost, you look at Arizona, Peter. It's a team I can make an argument that could be very, very good, a team that could be very, very mediocre, a team that's looking up. I think that if injuries don't go their way, luck doesn't go their way, it could be a bad season, could be a great season out here. What do you make out of the Cardinals coming into this Sunday?
Brad, I feel almost the same way as you do. I think if things go right, they can win 11 games and challenge Seattle for the division supremacy. But I think an awful lot has to go right. Their offensive line has to protect Carson Palmer. I mean, I think everybody has so fallen in love with David Johnson. And, you know, he's Mr. Fantasy Football. And everybody loves him. He's rightfully so. He's a great guy. And everything you want in a real solid NFL player. But I just don't know if in this day and age you can count on a guy staying healthy, being used as much as he will be used. And in my opinion, he will touch the ball more than any running back in the NFL this year. Assuming he does that, even if Ezekiel Elliott were to play 16 games, which I doubt. You know, to me, I think the big thing is the Arizona Cardinals need another offensive weapon to take some of the pressure off him, whether it's John Brown, whether it's Jerron Brown. I mean, I think they're going to be in trouble in terms of offensive diversity if they simply rely on David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, at some point, Larry Fitzgerald is going to not be Larry Fitzgerald anymore. I know that seems impossible for people to realize, but man, I don't know how much longer he can last taking the abuse that he does. I saw him in July, and I marveled. I kept saying, how do you keep taking this? It's amazing that he continues to stay upright and continues to be exceedingly productive week after week, year after year. But you know, it's he's human. I just got to figure now that he's getting along in age that at some point one of these young receivers has to develop into the kind of every down threat so that there's not so much pressure on Johnson and Fitzgerald.
Well, and flip it around to the other side, and I agree with you. I had Marshall Faulk on recently, and we were talking about the workload of David Johnson, and Marshall disagreed with me, and he's a Hall of Famer, covered him when he was in college, love him as a human being, but he said, Brad, these young bucks can go all day long. I just disagree with that. I think you and I are on the same, or definitely we're on the same page here, that there's only so many hits a guy like David could take. But you flip it over, Peter, to the defensive side of the football. Tyrann Mathieu gets a big contract a year ago. Tyrann Mathieu has not been able to stay healthy the last couple of years, and yet Tyrann Mathieu, for what it's worth in August, had a very productive training camp. So I'm looking at Tyrann Mathieu saying, one guy doesn't make a defense, but this guy certainly could help out here.
I think not only Tyrann Mathieu, really, Brad, but one of the big things that I think about this defense this year, you know, how are they going to do without Calais Campbell? And that's why I think it's not only Tyrann Mathieu has to come in and be an impact player, but also Hassan Reddick. Because I think by missing Calais Campbell, to me, I think Calais Campbell not being there is really going to be an issue and needs to be addressed on that defensive front. Now, I trust James Betcher to figure it out just the same way that when the Cardinals under Todd Bowles had a bunch of issues at linebacker, they started moving safeties down in the box. But no Calais Campbell, no Tony Jefferson. Those are two big losses, particularly Campbell, in my opinion, that I think Tyrann Mathieu, Hassan Reddick, and some of the other newbies on that defense, they have to hit the ground running against Detroit on Sunday.
Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. Hey, check out Peter's podcast, too, the MMQB podcast. Terrific episode this week with Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator, turning 80 with the Titans. Over on Detroit's side, Matthew Stafford gets the huge contract, the largest in the NFL, and that will be superseded by someone else. I get it, but it's Matthew Stafford. When we're talking about highest paid player in the NFL, what are the Cardinals facing on Sunday? Are they facing that guy in terms of productivity, Peter?
You know, I think until the Detroit Lions get the kind of consistent running game, which they simply haven't had, there's going to be too much pressure on Matthew Stafford without a superstar receiver, you know, for them to establish the kind of great offense that they're going to need. They don't have a defense that scares people. I think their defense is middle of the pack. But I just think there's way too much pressure on Matthew Stafford to be an all-everything guy. Remember when he signed his contract a couple of weeks ago, there was all this stuff about how, well, you know, he hasn't won a playoff game yet and he doesn't deserve this money. And we all know he hasn't won a playoff game. But, I mean, I think too much time, there's too much pressure on the quarterback when it comes to winning playoff games. And that's why, to me, I think as you look at Matthew Stafford right now, I think he's a really good player, but a really good quarterback in a vacuum cannot do everything himself. And that's what I look at the Lions starting the year. Now, I keep hearing from everybody in Detroit, Amir Abdullah, you know, is ready to have one of those breakout years. We'll see. I think he's going to need to for the Lions to become the kind of consistent offense that you're going to be a playoff contender today in the NFL.
It's a really interesting matchup, I think, Lions-Cardinals Sunday. But I also, Peter, am one that sees you have to have luck to have a big season. The Cardinals may have that here off the top. Doesn't look like Andrew Luck's going to be ready. We really don't know in Week 2. And we don't know about Ezekiel Elliott in Week 3 when the Cowboys come here in Monday Night Football. Size it up the early part of the season, first 3 weeks for the Cardinals, and what do you see? What do you expect?
Well, you know, I was looking at the Cowboys' schedule earlier today, and you look at the first six games that they play, and quite honestly, the first five games, they could lose any one of those, even if Ezekiel Elliott plays. Mm-hmm. So they got a tough road the first month or so of the season. And I think one of the reasons why the Cowboys are fighting this so much is that not only do they feel like you know, Roger Goodell has convicted Ezekiel Elliott when there's an incredible amount of doubt what exactly happened between him and Tiffany Thompson. But I think this is a pragmatic view of it. They don't want the Cowboys to be 2-4 when Elliott comes back. Now, you talk about Andrew Luck. I think the Andrew Luck thing is very, very simple. I know that in this day of 24/7 media, Brad, that no one can quite accept the fact when a team says, we're going to play Andrew Luck when he's healthy enough to play and when we don't have to worry about his shoulder, when our trainers say his shoulder is ready and he's perfectly healthy. When I was in training camp this summer, you know, I had a long session with Chris Ballard, the general manager, and he basically said, we are going to play Andrew Luck when he's absolutely, totally, fully healthy. If you've watched the Colts the last year and a half, that hasn't been the Andrew Luck that they want to take their team for the next decade or 12 years. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to take the short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Two other questions. We'll let Peter go, the Monday Morning Quarterback, and we'll talk about the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast here in a second. What are you most looking forward to here in week one? The games, the storylines here in opening week for you, Peter?
Oakland at Tennessee. I think it's a fantastic game. You know, we're talking about Dick LeBeau. What can Dick LeBeau do to come and throw some curveballs at Derek Carr and Amari Cooper? I think that is going to be a big part of that game plan. I think either of these teams, and I include Tennessee, could play in the AFC Championship game against New England in late January. I really like Tennessee, and obviously everybody likes Oakland. That's the game that I think is going to be the most compelling, the most interesting, and I bet it'll have one of the smallest audiences in the country, too, in week one because there are so many other marquee games. The other game, I think, obviously, that everybody is going to get a kick out of is Adrian Peterson and his new New Orleans Saints teammates going to Minnesota. One of the coolest things that happened to me on my training camp trip is I'm in Minnesota, and Everson Griffin of the Vikings, who I've known for a while, you know, he says, listen, I was in training camp with Adrian Peterson for 7 years, and I never got to tackle him. This Monday night game will be the first time I've ever had a chance to tackle Adrian Peterson, and he was across from me in practice for 7 years. Yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot of emotion between the two teams, and I think Adrian Peterson, basically, he said it over the weekend to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He is not happy that the Minnesota Vikings let him go, and he's going to try at age 32 and a half years in the opening game to show them that they made a mistake. So we'll see.
Yeah, Everson Griffin, of course, a great Valley High School player as well. Before we get out of here, you've your Monday Morning Quarterback podcast, the MMQB podcast. So you had Dick LeBeau over the weekend, and I was talking to you off air about it. It's terrific, but people may not be aware that your podcast is something that you've really ramped up here with the season starting. Why don't you push that a little bit here, Peter?
I mean, I really love my podcast, and I love doing it. Because I think there are so few avenues, Brad, in these days that you get a chance to have a real conversation with a person.
Right.
So this week on my podcast, I've got a 28-minute conversation with Von Miller. I've got Derek Carr on. I've got Marcus Mariota, season-opening spectacular. And, I mean, you're going to want to listen to Von Miller. He was really good, I thought. And obviously Dick LeBeau, who I've known since 1984 when I first covered the NFL, on another podcast this week. And I don't mean to podcast you out, but if you open up your browser on Friday morning, you're going to get a live podcast with me from Foxborough. I'm going to record it after the game with people in the game, hopefully players from both teams. So we'll see. But I'm really looking forward to that because I've never covered a game as a podcast. First time in 34 years.
Cool.
Friday morning, the MMQB podcast with Peter King will be a game story, basically. A game story for me covering the Chiefs and Patriots in Foxborough. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. And Brad, the thing is, none of us know where the media is going.
Right.
And I'm just trying to hedge all my bets out here.
Well, and I'm doing the same out here. So, by the way, you can join us from the Lower East Side anytime. It looks great, sounds great. Get a little slice of New York.
Enjoy. I appreciate it, Brad. Thank you so much.
Stay well, Peter. Always good to visit with you. There's Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. Always good to catch up with Peter on the road. Peter King, every week during the regular season of the National Football League. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So not only is it opening week in the NFL, and we'll have Michael Fabiano with us here in about 6-7 minutes, but it's also week two for the college football teams in our great state. So what do we learn over week number one? You, Eric, was out at New Mexico State ASU, and I said off the top last week, why are you going to that? And you don't have Pac-12 Network, so I do. I thought about inviting you over, but you were adamant you wanted to go. You had to stick around longer than you thought, though, right?
Yeah. You and I had a nice text exchange at halftime because, you know, the
very sad emojis off of
Eric's phone. I don't want to say the goal was to leave at halftime, but the plan was I go shoot the first half, get a bunch of great ASU highlights for our TV show that's airing this week. And when it's, you know, 35-10, 35-7, 38-13 at halftime, I'll just kind of exit stage left because, you know, my workday started at 8 in the morning. That game didn't kick off until close to 8 at night. Tiniest violin. I get it. But when it's 104 degrees and you're standing down on the field and it's halftime and it's 14-13 against a team, as you mentioned, that got kicked out of their own, that's getting kicked out of the Sun Belt, not good.
Well, and gosh, these apologists for Arizona State, just because you went there doesn't mean that you can't be objective. Man, oh, man. People are trying to tell me, oh, it's the first game, and, you know, look at how bad this team looked. Now, look at how bad that team looked. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, okay? Doesn't matter to me what Ohio State. I don't care. I'm not in Ohio. I'm in Arizona. So, and when I see and know what's going on with the head coaching situation here, and obviously Todd Graham is not wired in a way where he's going to say, I mean, that was one of the greatest catches you'll ever see. Sure, it was one of the greatest catches you'll ever see by New Mexico State, a team that's been kicked out of the Sun Belt, against Arizona State. So I got it. Todd Graham said after the game, he said all the right things. You know, it's great we got our first win, did in front of our hometown crowd and all that stuff. There comes a point where I just wish he would step to the podium and say, I need to apologize for our showing tonight. Yes, we won the game, but let's be honest, none of us expect the team to perform like this if our goals are to win a bunch of games and for me to save my job. Now, he's not going to say to save my job part. But I think everybody around ASU that I've talked to and the season ticket holders are fatigued with the everything is great. Everything is so happy and everything is so beautiful. And no, it's not. There comes a time where you cannot worry about those kids down in the locker room if they're going to quit on you or not. You can't. You have to have the hammer, and they have to respect you. And so to step in to a group of us and say, we got the W, but obviously we have a lot of work to do. That's far less what we expect out of our program. Too many mental mistakes, too many errors tonight, just too many silly plays that we shouldn't have had out on the field. And he's going to open himself up and take some arrows. But I don't know, Eric, when I hear Todd Graham speak, there's never that. I don't hear that. And if I hear that, it's usually about, you know, certain positions and things along those lines. And it's not about him. You know, I think there comes a point where he's got to be the one that says, I didn't have our team ready in the second half. I can't explain to you why New Mexico State came back as hard as they did. It's disappointing. Yes, we got the W, but we have to play a heck of a lot better in all three facets next week against San Diego State. I can even throw the coach speak in there.
It was a real lipstick on the pig type performance
absolutely.
From ASU. I mean, Caron Crump played great. Kalen Ballage played really well. Manny Wilkins played really well. As you'd expect those three, they are three of the best players on ASU. ASU's offensive line gave up 7 sacks.
A team that only had 12 last year.
You allowed a bunch of points to a team that usually doesn't score a bunch of points.
Who's been
home.
Kicked out of their own conference. Shoo.
We'll see.
Shoo, shoo, shoo.
We'll see. And I am of the belief, I tend to disagree with you a little bit. Week ones are just tricky, but you would have thought, especially when they had them by the throat in the second half, and they let New Mexico State come all the way back and make it a six-point game, that's the most disappointing. When you're playing inferior competition and you're a Pac-12 school trying to establish your own identity, when you have your foot on their throat, you need to finish the job. And ASU did not finish the job on Thursday.
Conversely, U of A did.
Yes,
they
did.
And we'll talk more about it in tomorrow's show. We have Michael Fabiano next. And now Michael Fabiano joins us live from the NFL Network. It is a big week, of course, for the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer because it is opening week and there's so much going on. Man, oh man, there's a lot of waiver stuff in the mailbag and bold predictions. I always like to ask Michael about bold predictions right off the top. So when it's week 20, I'll be that guy that says, hey, Michael, what happened? No, I'm not going to be that guy.
You can do it. It's fine. I get it on Twitter, you know. 17 weeks
you out of the said, season. You said,
you idiot,
it's your fault.
That's right.
It's all
well, that's
your
part
fault.
Of the, that's part of the job description. You know, not only make predictions, but you know, take the heat from people and the blame when they don't have a lot of success with their fantasy team.
All right. Bold, give me some bold predictions on players. Bold, big, bad, bold Michael Fabiano predictions here in week one.
Do I have to believe them, or do you
Sure. Ezekiel Elliott's going to run for 30 touchdowns and not have any legal trouble. How's that? I mean, big, bold predictions, Michael.
As a Cowboys fan, that would be one hell of one to see come true, but that won't happen. Matt Ryan, who is the second highest scoring player in fantasy football last year, will not be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. How about that one?
Wow. And your reasoning?
Okay with you?
Oh, I love that. What is your reasoning behind this?
It's the magical season syndrome. It happened with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's been a great fantasy quarterback ever since he's come into the league. And I always warn people, especially at quarterback, and this is not just a recent trend. You can look back to, heck, Dan Marino, his first big season. The next season, his numbers were down. It happened with Kurt Warner. It's happened with a lot of quarterbacks. Heck, Tom Brady, same situation. So Matt Ryan and everything that went right with Atlanta's season in 2016, well, until the whole Super Bowl issue, it's very likely not going to happen again. And they have a new offensive coordinator in Steve Sarkisian. So that doesn't mean that I wouldn't draft Matt Ryan, but I wouldn't draft him in the first six rounds. I wouldn't draft him in the first seven rounds, and that probably means I won't get him. I also really like the rookie running backs this year. I think you could have four or five finish in the top 20 in fantasy points at that position. Dalvin Cook, now Kareem Hunt is the new big thing in fantasy football. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, who projects to be a PPR superstar. There are a lot of talented guys. Joe Mixon, maybe he doesn't start the season too fast because you've got Jeremy Hill there and Gio there, but at some point I believe he takes that job. And one thing people have to remember, expect the unexpected in the National Football League and fantasy football because it's going to happen. Unexpected things are absolutely going to happen. I also wouldn't be a bit surprised if you saw players who last season were disappointments, who were injured, come back and make a big impact, like a C.J. Anderson. I could absolutely see C.J. being a top 15 fantasy running back this season without question. And Cardinals fans will like this one. Mm. I am going to predict that David Johnson's goal of 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving will be met this season.
Wow. Wow.
And that is why he is the consensus number one overall pick in fantasy football. And DJ, if you're listening, make me look good, man.
But will he shatter it or will he just eclipse it? Meaning, is he got 2,500? Does he have 2,800?
Well, that's a lot. I can see him going for around 2,200 or 2,300. That right there is impressive. And you're going to get the double-digit touchdowns. You're going to get 70 catches. You know, I've talked about this because I'm seeing Le'Veon Bell drafted number one overall in more and more leagues. And I get it because you have a big sample size with Le'Veon. But, you know, there are just running backs who have it. You know, there are players who have it. Like, I think Dak Prescott has it.
Right.
You know, Andrew Luck had it coming out of Stanford. And I just feel like David has it. He reminds me so much of a Priest Holmes. And if you remember, and I'm not talking about his Baltimore days, but when he was in Kansas City with Dick Vermeil, he was the best running back in fantasy football. This guy put up 373 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues two seasons in a row, and he was on pace to do it again before he got hurt. I just think at the end of the day, DJ is going to be in that category of a Priest Holmes, of a Sean Alexander, a guy who puts out big numbers for fantasy fans every single week.
What about Carson Palmer, Michael? Here's the first 3 weeks of his schedule. And when you have Detroit, you have Indianapolis, and you have Dallas. If you're just looking to have a second quarterback on your roster, I'm not saying QB1 for him, but I'm looking at Carson Palmer, so that's pretty, and he's the 49ers the fourth week. That's pretty darn good in terms of matchups for Carson Palmer. Where do you come down on using him early in the season?
Look at you studying up, fantasy guru that you are. I like him as a sleeper this week. Detroit's defense was not good at home against quarterbacks last season. So if you have, for example, Dak Prescott. Okay, I know, I love him, but he does not do well against the Giants, and the Giants' defense is very good. If you have Phillip Rivers, and he's going against Denver, and he doesn't typically do very well in the Mile High City, Carson Palmer's a very nice streamable option this week, and if you're in a super flex league, which are a lot of fun, by the way, you got to do those, he is a really good play against Detroit.
All right, let me throw some mailbag at you before we get you out of here. Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. He joins us every week, the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Waivers, Cutler or Taylor?
Oh, well, Tyrod Taylor is not even a lock to play this week, so I would have to go Cutler. And I would think there's got to be a better option out there. Look and see if Sam Bradford is available because he's got the Saints this week. Mm. Good matchup.
Waivers, Wendell Smallwood or Chris Carson? Going deep here.
Yeah, I'm going Wendell Smallwood here, and I do think Chris Carson is also a guy that needs to be owned in leagues, but you're going with a backfield that's got a four-headed monster potentially in Seattle to Philadelphia, where you've got more of a three-headed monster if you include LeGarrette Blount and Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood. So I'll go Smallwood there.
Rodgers or Burkhead?
Wow, I'm going Rodgers, and I do think Rodgers can help fantasy fans in the first 3 weeks of the season while Doug Martin is suspended. He is one of my favorite sleepers this week.
Before I get out of here, there's been a lot of questions in the mailbag about the Colts-Patriots deal. Where do you come down on that from a fantasy standpoint?
Hard to draft Luck right now if you still have drafts, and I still have three, believe it or not.
I got one tomorrow, or tonight actually, I have one. So
I have two tonight, back-to-back, and I can't draft him in the first 10 rounds. I can't. I don't know when he's coming back. And there's just been some weird cryptic statements made by Jim Irsay and Chuck Pagano, and, you know, Chuck Pagano saying he needs to stay in his lane, and I would think the lane that he needs to be in is the lane that knows what Andrew Luck's status is. It was an odd statement, and Irsay's been cryptic too. I just don't know when he's coming back, and that's a domino effect on all of the Colts' offensive skill position players like Frank Gore and Moncrief and T.Y. and Jack Doyle. So would I take Andrew Luck? Yeah. If he's on the board in the 11th or 12th round, I will absolutely take a shot on him because there's a quarterback out there that I can use for the first few weeks. The problem is I don't know when I'm getting Andrew Luck back.
Right.
And that uncertainty creates fear. And you know us fantasy owners, right? We're a very fearful bunch. Any little thing scares us. So Andrew Luck is a guy that I would take, but not in the first 100 picks. No doubt about that. I am waiting on him.
Anybody you don't like this week? Anybody to stay away from this week? I mean, it's easy to say, I love this guy, I love that guy, but it's the, it's week one. Let's be real here. Stay away from these guys this week.
I've got some big names I don't like. I mentioned Dak. I mentioned Phillip Rivers. Brad, let's go down memory lane and talk about how bad Ben Roethlisberger is on the road. I mean, yeah. I feel like we talked about that every single week last year. He averaged 13 points a game on the road. In his career in Cleveland, he's averaged 13.9. He's averaged 219 passing yards a game. That's not good at the running back position. And listen, I like Kareem Hunt, okay? I think he's going to be a very good RB2 for fantasy fans. I don't like him in week one, not against the Patriots. I actually think Charkhandrick West might actually be a better play this
really?
Week.
Wow.
This rookie in the bright lights, national TV, playing against the Patriots. I like him long term. I don't really like him this week. Mark Ingram and Amir Abdullah are a couple of other players I'm not real high on this week. And if we look at the wide receivers, and I'm going to talk about big names, T.Y. Hilton. Scott Tolzien is not Andrew Luck. okay? And that is going to scare me from starting any Colts this week. Allen Robinson, I don't like him this week as well. I mean, if you look at Houston's defense, they gave up the third fewest fantasy points and the fourth fewest yards to wide receivers who came to Houston. That is a eye-opening stat. And you've got J.J. Watt back this week, and Blake Bortles is still the quarterback in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So, and I understand the old motto, you stick with your studs. And most of the time in week one, you're going to do that. But don't be afraid to play the matchups when the matchups are absolutely positively skewing towards one direction. And I use the Colts' offensive skill positions as an example. A lot of big names. Doesn't mean you have to start them this week if you have depth and you have players on your bench who are viable replacements with good matchups.
Stay well. Appreciate the time. Enjoy your week, Michael. Thanks.
You too, pal.
Michael Fabiano there right at the NFL Network. The Hall of Famer at the NFL Network, Fantasy Football Every Week from Michael. We have the baseball game tonight, and Greinke is throwing. I'm going to be watching that. Is there anything else tonight, guys? Anything else? It's just Greinke. It's like, that's it. This is what happens when you have a team that gets past Labor Day in baseball that is in a race. And I saw on Twitter where somebody on the air here in Phoenix, some TV guy here in Phoenix, actually said the Diamondbacks could catch the Dodgers. Come on. Please. Just stop sipping on stuff before you go on the air. It's just embarrassing. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces Eric Sorensen. Our television show is tonight before and after the Diamondbacks-Dodgers game with our partners at Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate the partnership with them. Enjoy your Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.